Caller says Sláinte Care was intended to address the aging chronic disease demographic. Sláinte Care is failing because of, amongst other things, no integrated IT system. Patients getting lost, confused in a duplicated, disintegrated system. Some world-class care expertise, but patchy without the key enabler of a functioning IT system. When one gets out of triage, you should be given a number to see when you're in line, or where you are in the queue, at least in ULL. You have some idea how long you're going to wait. Well, the email comes in from the HSE when it's very busy, and they state that they treat people based on their clinical need. So that means even if you were given a ticket and you were fifth or sixth, you know, with five or six patients that are more sick than you come in, I presume they go ahead of you. That's if I'm reading what they say correctly in the HSE statements. Why do patients have to go to Galway to get an angiogram done? They could be taking up a bed in the hospital waiting to be sent to Galway for this angiogram. Another, I think that the problem in the hospital started when the triage system was set in place and everyone had to go through the ED. Years ago, you saw your GP and he would see if there was a bed available in Peds or Ortho or wherever it was. Only then were you admitted. Another caller says or asks, should the Regional Health Forum or the Regional Health Board be restored? New hospital, new minor injuries clinic, private places, i.e. Letterkenny Minix, all brilliant. Nothing to do with no staff. No staff? Got to ask why, asks a tester or says a texter. Another says, I've experienced this for years and just recently when a patient is getting discharged, it takes up to 5 hours as you're waiting on a prescription and the bed is lying empty in the ward for up to 12 hours. This has never changed. Any wonder people are waiting for beds, and sometimes you hear people in DD saying they got a bed at 4 or 5 in the morning, even though all beds are taken up, and they wonder, well, is someone discharged at that time? Maybe that answers part of that question. Another, people are going into hospital, they're kept for a week, then sent to Galway by taxi for operations because Letterkenny can't do it after a week in a bed. Problems at LUH got really bad when the decision was made that everyone's admitted through the ED, says another listener. Morning, Greg. The hospital is an absolute mess without any workable system in place. When you turn up at the ED, you're asked at reception what the issue is. You then eventually get seen by triage, and then they ask you what the issue is. Then you see a doctor 10 plus hours later, and you're asked again what the issue is. It's a joke. Management should be investigated and removed if they aren't up to speed. Simple. One hospital in a county our size is ridiculous. Regarding the cross-border hip replacement surgery, I was told that I would get a full refund from Ballykelly. I had my hip done in September 22 and I never received my full refund. I paid €14,000 and only got €11,700. That was all the HSE allowed me to claim. X-ray and consultation is paid up front too, which you can't claim back. Did you get a letter, though? I'd be very interested in this case to say what the letter, before you went ahead with the work in Ballykelly, what did the letter from the HSE say? Does it say, well, we'll see how much you'll get back? Does it tell you how much you'll get back? I personally wouldn't be going to a private hospital under this scheme unless I was specifically told by the HSE in advance that I had a letter of approval and for what the approval was for, and then I'd check with the private hospital what any shortfall might be. I would be very upset if I got surprised by being short 2,300 and wasn't told in advance. Greg, my daughter sat in a steel chair in the ED in recent times for 24 hours. Her legs were like frozen ice and swollen, a disgrace. When you get in, I had to ask a lovely nurse for a blanket to help heat her legs up. These are all real life stories from people within our community availing of this hospital, by the way. Are the council tenants living in defective concrete block houses? Oh, that was already asked. I presume the idea it not... The idea is it not that the houses are rebuilt and you're in situ in that house rather than you be put into a new social housing development. Whoever has made the decision to downgrade the fire service in Donegal ought to be named. I've read that one already as well. My apologies. Via email, just listening to this poor gentleman who lives in a floodplain and also has defective concrete. Who signed off on the planning permission to build houses on a floodplain in the first place? This is hard to believe. What the council are proposing, get the residents moved. And I'm not sure if when those houses were being built, at that point, would there have been knowledge that it was likely to flood, if you know what I'm saying? Okay, let's move on and talk sport. Mr. Brendan Devaney's with me now. Hiya, Brendan. How are you getting on? Cheers. Too much milk in that tea. I hope it's just milk. There's hardly tea in that, is there, or coffee? What's wrong with you, man?
I was with one that went off on me. I think it was lying in my boot one day and I chanced it, but I got caught this morning with a lumpy milk, right?
Ook. Right, okay, so the county team are having a week off, and it seems like they've been at it for ages now at this point. I know you were at a function at the weekend and you got access to some great people, not least Jim McGuinness. And I suppose you'd have been thinking long and hard as to, you know, what to ask, get in under the skin of the team and all that kind of stuff. Interesting chat?
Yeah, very interesting chat, Greg, yeah. But as you were saying, you always like to have a bit of an angle on it in terms of, I guess, Jim's own mindset. You know, if you were back to the very start of where the tactics and where the thought came from to play the system that he did and how he was influenced and how long it took him to kind of perfect and get to where he was. And I guess I am fascinated to know about, obviously tactics is one side of it, then you've got the man management and the bond that he obviously brings to the team. So how that whole process started and how he went through his first 4 years and the difference in the now and how he is himself and obviously the journey that he went on around the world through coaching soccer as well. So yeah, listen, Jim, sure, he's fascinating. I mean, there's so many parts that you could spend so much time talking on. So it was a fascinating chat to him. I mean, there was such a breakdown of people at the event. It was amazing.
Yeah, not giving anything away. The interview will be out later. But did you? I mean, it's always interesting to hear him chat. Don't get me wrong, right? But do you feel you learned something? Because, you know, someone of Jim McGuinness's caliber, he's managing us as well. Like, he's managing his team. He's managing, but he's also, I think, too, can manage. And this is not a criticism. This is a compliment. He can manage the public discord on it as well, if you know what I mean. And he'll say as much as he wants us to hear.
Well, the public discord is always good because the team's always doing well.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, he's 5 years in. In that time, he gets 4 All-Stars, 2 league titles, an All-Ireland title, and being in another final as well. And you know, there's been so many good days. So I guess, you know, for us Donegal fans, we just support him and know that we trust what he's doing. I guess my talk to him, I suppose, on the night was very deep like that, Greg. Obviously, the talk that we had was more general in terms of on the show this evening about up to date, you know, how he's feeling about the team, you know, injuries, etc. like that there, you know. So so along with him, Colin McFadden, his backroom team was basically there. Neil McGee was there, Colin McFadden, Luke Barrett was all there. Of course, Luke's a Milford man, of course, and it was his club's night. James Gallagher was there, the goalkeeping coach as well. And then, of course, we had Conor McManus and Keith Barr there. So, I mean, it was brilliant for me because I think if anybody listened, they remember Keith Barr from, obviously, Donegal's 92, you know, when I was introduced to him. I said he had the honour of being on the pitch in 1982. Of course, they come back in 95 and won the All-Ireland, but Keith's a fascinating character. He's no holes barred, you know, he just tells it how it is.
So John Harron shoots from the hip as well. He's on tonight.
Yeah, John Harron and John Gilday will be up in studio. So we're gonna look across all the GA news stories that's happening and just bring us up to date on where things is at in GA in the county and rules and etc. and Donegal's evolution there as well. So yeah, it was brilliant. Conor McManus been there too. You know, Conor just recently retired and, you know, definitely up there with the best forwards, not just of his generation, but you know, ever. So it was great to have him down from Clontarbert. He's going to try and give it one last lash before he gets a hip done. So that's the turbulations you put in the body in the modern game.
Yeah, Keith Barr's on the show as well. The one thing is where, I mean, there is still some action to reflect on, but especially in a compact season, it's not often you get a show where it can be more general conversation-driven, Brendan, because a lot of the time it's about reflecting and looking forward into the days ahead.
Yeah, you're right, Greg. It's going to be a different show in terms of, yeah, a bit more time to relax and talk, you know, because there's so much happening in Donegal GA. You're obviously trying to give respect to everybody and pack everything in, and we do. And we make sure everybody gets their respect and their dues. And as you said, the under-20 hurlers were in a Shield final at the weekend as well, and their minor footballers were in a minor league action too. So, listen, there's always stuff going on, but there are three main senior inter-county teams did have a weekend off, so it gave us a bit of time to say reflect. And as you said, John Gilday and John Harn are very good at that.
How do you think Jim McGuinness will handle the end of this league? Because there's a few balls to keep in the air, right? We know there's players that he wants to give experience to. We know winning's a habit. I don't think he'd want the team to be trounced. Whether or not they make the final or not remains to be seen. But also, too, you're going to have paying customers going to watch the team. You know, the national eyes are on it as well. There's a lot actually to sort of a lot of plays to keep spinning for the likes of Jim McGuinness and his team as to how to approach this that actually leaves you in the best position starting the championship.
Yeah, I suppose one way, Greg, it's a good position because listen, as long as we do obviously miss the league final because he can rest people and we've obviously got very huge injury concerns over key men, you know, Jace McGee, Langan, McBurdy. Finbar already pick up an injury. Like, those players, you don't want to go into the championship without those guys. So, you know, this is the big thing now that Donegal have over some of their rivals, that they can't afford in some way to not be pressurised. You know, if you look at Tyrone coming desperate for points, they'll be going flat out to play us. We don't have to play like that. So in a condensed season, which is a huge a problem for managers, in many ways now it gives us time to plan. We can literally plan for the championship now because we're safe in the division. And I get that about people coming to the games, that, but I think if anybody knows the long-term plan knows that our strongest team wasn't out, I don't think they'll be overly worried about the result.
I think the function of that question was actually to manage expectations, if you know what I mean.
And Greg, the thing is, I suppose Letterkenny being a Unions man, we don't have a great record in Letterkenny. Now I'm afraid this is going to go on as a mark again, Letterkenny. But listen, whatever way he plays, Greg, nobody really minds because, listen, it's all about championship for us now. No one in Donegal really cares about a league title for this team. Being Ulster champions, being where they are, there's a couple of jobs, and that's, first of all, they defend their Ulster crown, and then they have a crack at the old Sam. So that's the show in town, and everyone knows it.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about McGuinness, too, is, he's looking back, and you referenced the sort of the miles that were up deep into the championship, and he's looking at that as well, isn't he? And he's thinking, well, how can I make sure that we've as much, rather than being coy and saying, oh, well, we have to get past Derry first, you know, the usual. He is seemingly, genuinely, you know, looking deep into the championship and fitness and to see, you know, what would be required in those games at the depth, maybe even to lift Sam, who's to say?
Yeah, we never know, but there's no reason why not, Greg, but I think there's, and he would be very realistic about that, you know, he's very much about the fact that I don't think anybody has any real advantage, and maybe in the top six, seven teams, anybody can beat anybody, and if you look at last year, for example, you know, how tight it was against Tyrone and Armagh, like going to added time, probably into the championship then, you know, the defeat to Cork, was something that, again, after an unbelievable performance against Tyrone, trying to manage that energy and that expectation, Greg, it does go up and down a lot. That is a really difficult, and challenges are going to come on that you're not ready for. Like the example of that Cork game away, and then no more than, as Jim said himself, Galway looked a bit fatigued later on in Galway, and we didn't seem to have enough firepower off the bench, but I think we all know that has been taken care of now.
I think we all know who you're talking about. All right, then. Brendan Devaney has a good chat with the County Senior Men's Manager, Jim McGuinness, tonight. John Gilday and John Harran will both be up in studio, so you don't really quite know what might come out of that conversation. Colin McManus is on the show. Okay, you never know. Great to be on your show, Brendan. Colin McManus and also Keith Barr, the Dublin great. Listen, good luck with it. Looking forward to listening to it. Take care, Brendan.
Here's Greg.
All right, that's Brendan Devaney. We welcome on to the show now, Brian. Hiya, Brian.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Brian. Now, you're raising safety concerns you have at schools in Convoy. What's the current situation? What do you think needs doing?
At the moment, there's no road traffic management at all in either school. I've been on to the council now for about a year trying to get some sort of crossing, but I've been told that it's, you know, it's in the plan, so it's down the road, it's coming, and just have to wait. Now, I've just would like an actual crossing at Ealer, at both schools, you know. There's no place to actually cross the road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and obviously then the dangers are obvious. You're concerned about obviously the children and their caregivers, their guardians, the parents. You're concerned, is it the speed of the traffic? It's the complete lack of a crossing. Brian, paint the picture for us for those.
It's just the lack of crossings. Mm. They're the main street. There's children crossing in between cars, left, right and centre. The main street itself is too narrow.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see children on the footpath or in between the cars. And if there was one place where they could cross the road, it would be a lot safer.
And you're being told that at this stage there are plans or aren't plans, or what's the story?
Well, I was told about a year ago that there was a health check to be done.
Yes.
On Convoy, and that there's some sort of plan being drawn up, but it's just taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think just a simple crossing shouldn't take no more than a month to sort out.
Yeah, okay. And what is the traffic like going past? Is it, again, pardon my ignorance, Brian, but does traffic naturally, for right or wrong, travel quickly past these schools?
Well, the town itself is a problem as well. Mm. You know, there's no management in the town at all. Going up Convey Main Street at any time of the day, if it's anyway busy, you just can't get past each other. You know, if there's a lorry, maybe in a tractor going opposite directions, there's just no room. And that'll block the whole town up.
And I think you've also expressed concern that maybe a lack of enforcement has led to a more of a dangerous driving culture establishing itself in the area.
Well, definitely there's no Garda presence in the town at all.
Mm.
So people will be coming on their phone, they'll be speeding, you know. Drink driving, I suppose, probably a problem as well, but because there's nobody watching, everybody's doing whatever they'd like.
Yeah, I mean, Convoy is an area that's growing, the population's increasing, there's a bit of investment, some housing planned, you know, obviously more children, hopefully, than are going to school and what have you, and more traffic. But it sounds to me from what you're saying, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that the infrastructure, it hasn't kept pace with maybe the growth of Convoy and the future growth.
No, it definitely hasn't. The Convoy infrastructure has been the same, I would say, the last 20 years. But over the last 5-6 years, and 5-6 years to come, we're going to see another 50 houses at the very least. And that's, you know, simple math. That'd be another 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Using the roads and using the infrastructure. And, well, I was going to say using the doctor's surgery, but the doctor's surgery is only open about 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no infrastructure put in to the level of the houses that are going up.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, we started off talking about safety at the schools and having a crossing in place. We'll contact the council, see what the plans are in relation to that. But, Brian, for now, thank you very much indeed. And I was told that a survey and maybe any principals or people working in the road section might be able to guide me on this, but I was told that surveys were ongoing at the moment at schools, all schools, I was told. Again, this is, I'm only looking for confirmation of this, I'm not actually stating as a fact, but that a survey was ongoing with a view to temporary reductions of speed limits outside all schools in the county, or at least in parts of the county, when the school is on the side of a primary road, if that makes sense. You know, the likes of what you see at Lurgy Brack or Lahey, St. Eunan's in Lahey, you know, those types of schools, that could be being rolled out on a more uniformed basis. As I say, I can't say for certainty that's the case, but someone said that surveys were taking place and that maybe by the end of the year into next year that might happen. So if anyone has any information, maybe at school's board of management or what have you, it would be interesting because it's something we've been talking about on this show for a long time. And I think it would be a great move if it were to happen, because we've, over the years, we've raised issues at certain schools and we've had success in that, but this might be a uniform solution. As I say, I'm not saying it's the case. I was just told reasonably reliably that it may be in the offing. So if anyone has any further info on that, I'd greatly appreciate some clarification. A caller says there's too much waste with government bodies. Just look at the quote for a job. If it's a private job, the quote is reasonable. If it's any kind of government body, the quote is astronomical. There is a lot of people to blame for the failures within the system. Another caller says the only cure for the hospitals is privatisation. Just look at the hospital, which are private. There's never a delay when you go to them for an appointment because time is money. I really don't think that's the way to go. Unless you've got a few quid, you'd be delighted. But for the rest of us, I'm not quite sure. A caller says the problem with Letterkenny Hospital is that it's too small because of the increase in population and the size of the area it has to cover. Therefore, it can't cope with the demand. That's according to Mary Rose. I mean, are we talking staffing, Mary Rose? Are you talking the actual building itself? I mean, it's a big, sprawling building. Or is it like just a narrow little entrance being the ED? Not literally, but metaphorically, that's the problem. Because if you walk around the hospital, there seems to be space. Would it not be a good idea to have a doctor in triage rather than a nurse who can decide whether a patient needs an X-ray and or a blood test and send them straight away? Surely results could then be more readily available to doctors in the ED on a more timely basis. Surely it would help with patients waiting for hours and hours. Greg, I'm a farmer and can relate to running the country's hospitals, etc. with a farm. Not to be stupid about it, but since maths, you don't buy 100 cows to go into a 30-cow shed. Now we've taken in thousands of people into this country with no schools, hospitals or housing, etc. End of. We stop right now and start with what we have. No more IPASS, no more open welcomes. We stay down and try to sort out the mess our government has put us in. I mean, obviously, any time you see a major increase in the population, it's going to put pressures on services. The demographic of people that have moved here, like, we need to establish, is that what's causing problems at Letterkenny University Hospital? When you go into the ED and you see the type, you know, the people that are there and the age and all that type of stuff, is it, certainly in terms of schools and GPs and dentists and what have you, there's much more pressure there. But in terms of the hospital itself, I wonder, is it a case that the people that moved here aren't taking up space there? I don't know. ED in Letterkenny University Hospital is insane. There's no communication at all, says the listener. I've been in several times with my children. The building is not fit for capacity. It's a free-for-all. I had to repeat myself several times. All the same information. The HSC is too top-heavy. Managers for managers. Only my opinion. But that's why we invite your opinion, because your opinion is as valid and valuable as everybody else's. Let me see. Who makes the decision to cut the fire brigade? And whoever makes that decision, should you not get them on to talk about it so they can justify their decisions? We've contacted the council for a spokesperson in relation to this. Sorry, I presume some of that is presumed, that as soon as we start talking about an issue, you hear what you hear on air, right? But the stuff that kicks in off air with our team here, in terms of obviously giving people A, a right to reply, but B, seeking statement in relation to that. So that, sorry, I should point that out. That happens, of course. The whole of Elm Parks is not a floodplain, says the listener. Okay. Greg, hold on. Didn't the people build the houses on that floodplain before? So why call the government crazy for doing it now? Hard luck. You made your bed and you lie in it. You want your cake and you want to eat it too. All right, okay. I appreciate your comment, James. I'm not really sure how that went down, how much knowledge of it being a floodplain there was when those houses were built or purchased. I just don't have that information, James, but maybe you did. But my favourite part of James's text, which I don't understand why he's right this, folks, because they're always read out, unless it libels someone or what have you. But James said at the end of this text, which I find quite amusing, "You won't read out this text because it doesn't suit your personal mantra and rhetoric." Nonsense, James. Of course I'll read it out. And I appreciate your comment. The dig? Don't need it because I read all the texts, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Keep them coming into us, by the way, James. Just listening to Professor Paul Dunlop, I think the problem lies with the council and the previous developer, because it's the planning authority that granted permission on this development. And there's just a bit at the end of that I can't read out. You know what it is, because it implies impropriety that I can't prove. Greg, I recently got a letter to say there are no longer a public health nursing Letterkenny for children in relation to the development checks at 12 months. Has anyone else been notified of this? I mentioned that earlier. I wanted to mention it again. That's a biggie for new mums and dads. And if that is the case, we need to find out why it is the case. Excuse me. And what can be done about it? Now, of course, we have to highlight where there are gaps and things that need to improve. And we also highlight areas of the hospital and health where things are going really, really well or where great things have happened. And one of those great things is your generosity, the public, in supporting the Northwest Breast Cancer Ball. It didn't go ahead because, do you remember the storm? And they had to make a call on the day of the storm. Then a red warning was issued. And it's the type of thing that's very difficult to reschedule. So lots of you had bought tickets. They didn't know. How many of you would look for a refund? But €6,000 was raised. Amazing stuff. The much-anticipated ball, originally scheduled for December 24, had to be cancelled due to severe storm conditions. However, despite this setback, the response from ticket holders and sponsors was nothing short of amazing, the organisers say. Many people chose to donate their ticket fees and additional contributions poured in, ensuring that significant funds were still raised for this important cause. The organisers say, we'd like to extend our deepest gratitude to everyone who supported the event, whether by donating, purchasing tickets, or contributing in other ways. While we're disappointed not to be able to celebrate in person, the kindness and support from our community has been truly heartwarming. Every penny raised will go towards those affected by breast cancer, making a real difference in their lives. Well done. €6,000 raised, and that's even in the context of the event being cancelled. Fantastic generosity from the ticket purchasers. All right. It was a great weekend of athletics. I got to watch much of it, which was fantastic as well. And I was really lucky in a court by accident, Mark English's semi-final performance, because I didn't have the schedule. He's with us, Mark English, the European bronze medalist, alongside Theresa McDade, Ireland team lead for the championship. Mark, congratulations. Brilliant stuff.
Thanks very much, Greg. Yeah.
Everyone's calling you a veteran. Is that all right? You're only 32. If you're a veteran, I don't know what the hell I am. I'm prehistoric.
Yeah, look, I'll just go with the narrative. I'm happy enough with that. Yeah, it's brilliant to be winning medals. And also to do it with two of my Irish teammates as well has been a fantastic experience.
Are you happy with bronze, or do you think there was an opportunity for you there, Mark?
Well, I went into the race to try and win gold. But sometimes you just have to accept what you're given at this level. You know, it's a high level of competition. So I'm really grateful that I was able to take away the bronze medal. And I just want to thank everyone who put in work making that possible over the last couple of months. Even my own father going up to Sierra Nevada in the mountains for altitude training over Christmas. I'm sure learning to ski there wasn't first in his priority over Christmas, but my girlfriend as well, Erica, my mother, my two sisters, my sponsors, everyone has put in so much work and made this possible.
You know, you're planning out, you know, your fitness and your training and, you know, looking to peak at certain times, I'm sure, Mark. Where are you on that journey now? You know, what is your target? Where are you at percentages-wise in terms of being able to achieve as much as you can achieve on the track this year?
Well, I changed coach back in October, so I've moved to Justin Rinaldi. And the training has kind of changed a little bit. Our volume has increased. And the aim has really just been trying to run as fast as I can this year and to see where that takes me. I looked at the times that the top guys in the world were running last year, and it was 141. So we figured that we needed to bring on my personal best from 144. So hopefully over the summer months I can produce one of them faster times, and we'll see what comes with that then.
Because I presume you're talking tiny, tiny tweaks almost at this stage to eke out those hundredths of a second or a second in your context, a lifetime almost. You know what I mean? You're really operating, aren't you, at the very, very edges of human capability.
Yeah, I suppose it's fine changes that you're trying to make, but thankfully Justin's very experienced with that, and he's been able to implement a schedule that's worked for me so far this year. And as I said, I hope I can continue into the summer months. It's just about getting back focused again. We're going to go out to Flagstaff in America for April and May and get some altitude training done there. And it'll help that I actually won't be the fastest person in the group, because Josh Hoey, the world's leading 800-meter runner indoors this year, will be there. So it's brilliant to be part of that training group, and I'm excited.
And before we bring Teresa in, what was the atmosphere like? They've really ramped it up now. It's like a show. It's in sort of the boxing, wrestling era now, with the flashing lights and the run-ons and all that type of stuff. I mean, you're completely in the zone. You can't allow yourself to be distracted by that too much. But what is it like?
Yeah, I suppose we have to just remember what we are. At the end of the day, we're kind of entertainers, really, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, you do have to play that part as well. But yeah, they put on a brilliant show.
Well, if you're going to do that, Mark, you're going to have to start some of this Hulk Hogan stuff, you know, like if you're really going to go into it.
Yeah, I've had conversations with my friends telling me what I need to do on the start line, but, you know, the nerves are just too great, so I just try to stay a little more focused. Yeah, it's all part of it.
All right. What are you hoping to? I mean, obviously, the hope is you don't actually hope. You are driving towards, you know, coming first. I presume you don't set your targets on a fourth or a fifth or a first. But I mean, what do you believe with the new regime, the new trainer, where you're at this stage? You know, how you performed on such a big stage at the weekend. What do you hope to achieve, or what do you believe? Sorry, you will achieve this year, Mark.
Well, the hope was to just try push the Irish record a little more, because I felt like it wouldn't have been right on myself if I had have retired and I didn't push that record. So until I get to that point where I know I've reached kind of my upper limit of where I think is possible, I don't think I'll be happy. So that's where I'm at anyway.
Therese, he's a remarkable athlete, isn't he? In everything that's, you know, being a regular folk in terms of career and all that kind of stuff, and the training and dedicating and splitting time left, right and centre. It's remarkable. I know he's sitting beside you, but it's remarkable what Mark is achieving, isn't it?
Well, I think I've documented well my views on Mark English millions of time. And before the race, someone was talking to me and said, well, you know, listen, experience counts everything, and particularly in that first round, like the experience that Mark showed, sort of just settle and not panic, and the gap opened, and the gap always opens. And even from a technical point of view, and so impressed even in that last move and the semi-final to get himself right into that qualifying position, just again at the right time, and again to hold off, and again made the right moves. Tactically, always really, really sound. And as I think I said to you yesterday, Mark, he can run sideways and still go forward. So, and sometimes indoors, particularly, and in 800 metres, that's almost a skill that you have to have. So, yeah, he's certainly one of our most consistent performers, and has the medals to prove it.
We had Kate O'Connor too. She secured bronze. Sarah Healy brought home a gold medal as well. Mark, from you know, I mean, you're an individual. You're on that. You're on those. You know, the start line yourself, and you're in your own head for your racing. But how much is there a team sense of, you know, success breeding success? One great result, maybe lifting someone else. Is there a strong team element to it? Even though it's one of the most individual sports there is that you're involved in.
Yeah, no, there is a team element. Obviously, it's an individual pursuit and you're out there and you're getting ready for the rounds. But like whenever I had finished my race, I was doing an interview, I think, with Cathal Dennehy, and I could see he was kind of angsty to get out and watch the race. And I realised that Sarah was running then, because it was kind of in my own head a little bit. And then I went and I actually went up and I saw her race, and it was like the last 100 metres of the race. And I couldn't believe that she was passing Melissa Courtney Bryant. It was phenomenal, and she's a lovely woman, so it's brilliant for her. And then for Kate, again, after that, to follow it up was fantastic, and a great night, really, for Irish athletics.
Yep, Arlene Crossan too, a notable mention as well. Just talk about the team element of it, Therese, as the Ireland team lead as well, because as Mark quite rightly put it, it's an individual pursuit, but, you know, you're there, you can see it all from a sort of one step back almost. As not competing.
I often describe it as we're a team of individuals, and I think, and particularly actually this trip has been really nice, because we've actually just launched our new team kit, so everybody was very excited to be out on our new Adidas kit, which was great. But I think too, it's that sort of consistency of staff and coaches and physios, and we all know each other, how we work, and we are all there with the one frame in mind, sort of thing. Like, so there is that. And I think when you're absolutely right in what you said earlier, when you get a good start, when you start off really well, it really helps. And it does build everybody. We've always had a great tradition of people sort of, you know, all the athletes that weren't competing and have finished competing, were all down watching and supporting, sort of thing like that. People sit together and have that bit of chill out time at meal times and different things. And all those wee small things all had that team cohesion, sort of thing like, and we have good communication. And even outside of championships, athletes are often on camps together or other competitions. So, and I think we would be very keen always to, for particularly, you know, as you mentioned, even the likes of Arlene, which was great and delighted that she even got a run out on the relay, was fantastic. And just making athletes feel welcome and being part of the team and making sure where they're going and what they're doing and where they're supposed to be. And you know, you can, particularly newer people, they can sit down beside the likes of Mark English and he'll talk to them and they'll made to feel welcome, yeah, and they feel that they can ask questions and so on. So, yeah, very important part of the team for us.
And Mark, do you sort of get that we're all sitting around TVs watching you? I was watching you and I was, come on, Mark! And then my little four-year-old, come on, Mark! You know, and you know, no, we were all like jumping up when you know, in the semi-final, actually, I watched with him, watched the final on my own. But there's thousands of us doing that right across the county and so proud of you. I presume that gets to you, does it? That we're all, you know, waiting to see how you get on and then so delighted when you achieve what you achieve?
Yeah, well, just haven't had experience of it over the years. I know that so many people get behind. But during the rounds, I just try to stay as focused as I can. I don't really look at all of the media attention. But yeah, it's brilliant. And it's great to see such fantastic support from Donegal as well. It's amazing. And I just want to thank Terence Diver there in Letterkenny. He's given me great support there too over the last year or so. So, you know, it's fantastic. And yeah, really, really thankful.
Brilliant stuff. It's fantastic. And we look forward to tracking you for the rest of this season. And great for the team as a whole. We're a tiny little speck on the left of Europe, and it's astonishing what we achieve. And I think as Donegal people, it's particularly astonishing what we achieve between boxing and athletics and badminton and every other thing. It's goalkeepers, footballers. It's brilliant stuff. All right, yeah. Mark, thanks so very much indeed. Congratulations again. Teresa, well done to you. Keeping everyone in check and facilitating this chat as well. Safe home, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks,
Melinda. All right, that's our own Mark English and our own Teresa McDade too. Very proud of both of them. Mark English, European bronze medalist, and Teresa McDade, Ireland team lead for the championship. Sarah Healy won gold. Fantastic achievement. Kate O'Connor was Ireland's first women's pentathlon bronze winner in an indoor competition. And a very big mention to Arlene Crossan, who was also in action at the weekend. She made her senior Irish debut for the Ireland women's 4x400 metre relay team. They finished sixth, but they're all building up to further tournaments. And you know what? I would say with all the training that the likes of Arlene does and everything, you can't beat the experience and what it helped and how it helps you grow in the competitive space as being in a packed stadium and a big event like that. Lovely to chat to Mark. Lovely to chat to Teresa. Donegal County Council has issued a statement as it relates to the situation involving fire personnel. You've heard that they've stated the second fire engine is to be lost, the water tank and another vehicle, and they're concerned about cover, etc. So that's one side. The council obviously have their position, and I'm more than happy to platform that. We'd have loved an interview to give everyone sort of a fair access, but they've issued a statement, and I'm more than happy to read that on their behalf. A statement issued to the media on behalf of firefighters in the Letterkenny Fire Station last week highlighted a number of issues. Donegal County Council Fire Service Management wished to state that the claims contained in this statement were inaccurate, untrue, self-serving and deeply misleading, and wish to refute them in the strongest manner possible. Such scaremongering is deeply unfair to the people served by the Donegal County Council Fire Service, and it's not acceptable to Fire Service Management that staff members make such comments. In that context, fire service management will be discussing this matter with the Letterkenny firefighters in the coming days. Donegal County Council Fire Service Management wish to reassure the public that public safety remains of paramount importance to the fire service and that the necessary resources required to respond to emergencies are and will continue to be made available to fire service personnel. Which is a very strongly worded statement. I've had a few statements from the council in the past. That is as pointed as I can remember. What does it mean? We shall seek further clarification, maybe in ask specifically as it relates to concerns about two pump stations becoming one pump station, access to water with the water tank, whatever the correct terminology is for that, etc. So we'll seek further clarification in relation to that. But I won't interpret it. You can do so. The statements that we've heard from firefighters have been described by the council as inaccurate, untrue, self-serving and deeply misleading, and they have been refuted in the strongest manner possible. And fire service management, in relation to these comments, are going to be discussing the matter directly with the Letterkenny firefighters in the coming days. I'm not sure if that's pointing to disciplinary action or what have you. I don't know. You can read into that what you wish yourself. But as I say, I've had a few statements from the council over the years, and that certainly is one of the most direct that I've ever gotten my hands on. We'll see how that plays out. Right. Martin is with me on line one. Hiya, Martin. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, Martin, I can. Right. Now, what's your experience of attending health services?
Yeah, attending health services. I was listening to your story earlier on as well, and all. And the only thing about it as well, and all, was I couldn't get through earlier on. But anyway, the only thing about it, tomorrow I'm traveling to Galway, which is, you know yourself, is a bit of a, well,
I have to
travel from 6:30 tomorrow morning and arrive there for an appointment tomorrow as well, and all. An appointment that I should have had months and months ago. But for the simple reason is, for some odd reason or other, it was getting turned down as well, to all, because I have a pacemaker. And the reason they rung me several times as well, to all, and every time they dismissed me every time as well, before I even was saying a word at all, they dismissed me and saying that, we can't do anything for you because you have a pacemaker.
Okay.
But I have been and the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast and Kingsbridge in Belfast as well, and all. And I supplied them with a letter, which actually had to investigate myself as well, and all, which actually states as well, and all, I'm putting my glasses on here as well, it states your pacemaker is compatible with your doctor, I'll not name the surgeon, Letterkenny University Hospital, who fitted the pacemaker. And the cardiac investigations in Letterkenny Hospital is confirmed it's compatible. And Medtronic, who makes the device as well, to all Lower High Street there in Dublin too, has actually confirmed that it's compatible with all or any MRI scans.
Right, just to reiterate, you have a letter that says your pacemaker can function normally without interference, even if you have an MRI and CT scan. But you're saying that in your experience, the medical teams are reluctant to put you through these machines because they're concerned as to its impact on the pacemaker. So in terms of diagnostics and your treatment for whatever might come across, Martin, that's problematic.
No, you're perfectly right. And part of what you're saying there, Greg, is correct. But the other part about it as well, and all, was Galway University Hospital would ring me up and they said, okay, we can't take you because, first of all, they say, you have a pacemaker. And yes, I would say yes. Sorry. Okay. And I was dismissed right away. So as the last time I said, before you dismiss me, right, okay, tell me why you're dismissing me. And they said, we don't have a cardiologist.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I get you. So they believe that's an essential part of the scans, even with the letter that there's a cardiologist on.
Kingsbridge University Hospital in Belfast and Victoria Hospital in Belfast, they never said you need to have a cardiologist there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this seems strange. Well, no, they dismissed me as soon as they asked me the question, if you're a pacemaker, oh, sorry, we can't do nothing for you.
That's Galway exclusively then, sorry, just so I'm clear, Martin. This is only in Galway.
Yes, it is only in Galway, and this has happened 6, 7, 8, or 10 times, right?
Right, okay. Not good. Not good at all. All right, listen, Martin, we're going to do some inquiries in relation to that, if you don't mind. Thank you very much for your time. That's Martin's experience there. We love you watching the show here, the 9 till noon show, but we're not the only show that is live streamed, by the way. There's lots of shows throughout the course of the week, but two tonight, just in case you want to watch something different. Brendan Devenny's DL Debate is live streamed as well as broadcast on the radio, and also Monday Night Sessions, Jimmy and Paul. They've got some great musical acts, and maybe that lends itself even better to watching as it does listening. So, of course, we're always here for you on FM and on your smart speakers, and we love that. But just to remind you, as well as watching this show every morning, as hundreds of you do religiously, we really appreciate that because it's lovely to reach people in different ways. But also the DL Debate tonight and also Monday Night Sessions, and Ivan does some live clips as well. The Score on a Thursday night is live streamed, and there's Gene, although I might have to set something up. I think is Gene having technical issues because I didn't see her go live yesterday, so I might look into that. But anyway, just to let you know, there's other programmes as well. Right, get your tickets today, please, if you don't mind, for our fantastic cash draw. We're giving away €9,000 on Friday, €1,000 every hour from 11 a.m. They're only trusting me with one draw. And it's just a tenner for a ticket, and you can have you will have 9 chances to win €1,000. Fantastic, isn't it? On top of that, you're supporting Donegal Cancer Flights, Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, Huey's Corner. All money raised after the money is given away is split between those 3 charities. So your generosity is going to be the difference maker there. Go on to our website, highlandradio.com. Give us a call on 07491 25000. But that is where we have to leave the show today. Thank you very much indeed to all of you who listened and contacted the show. Anything we didn't get to, we'll carry over till tomorrow, of course. But that's it for now. Stay safe, above all. And also, stay tuned.